Previously on Worlds Away.
We see smoke rising from the gun. The creature is no longer moving, and you can see a thick green-gray liquid beginning to stream from a hole near the center of its torso. What do you do?
I dive towards the creature sort of immediately. Mono, what have you done?
I think Arno is looking at his hands because he felt that burning sensation for his pistol. John, do I see any damage to my hands, any burns?
What your eyes are seeing when you look at your hand is that there is no damage to it. Your hands are completely normal.
Yeah, my plan would be to use my flesh knitter move to try to somehow help its body heal itself.
Oh,
that's a 10.
It's going to need some serious care. Like, again, I think it will need some kind of surgical intervention to save it.
The bullet's still in it. It could still be doing damage. I think we need to get it out and back to the ship where maybe we can do something with the auto dock.
I agree. How quickly can we get the Valiant proximal to us?
We happened to be here when it was already weakened. I don't know what that thing is capable of if we nurse it back to full health. But everyone else that's been in contact with it has ended up in a coma.
And I think we see the creature itself in the med bay of the Valiant. But again, I don't think we see any movement from it at all.
Are you prepared to index with this creature? It might be our only way of getting real, genuine answers.
I think Leela nods and turns to Nasir with a questioning look on her face.
This may be an odd time to say it, but I would love to.
The last we remember, we were injured on our ship and threatened by the hunters, the aerial craft. Then humans came. Was that you?
We attacked you. Members of our crew hurt you. And now you're on board our ship as we try to keep you alive. And I'm so sorry. Can you help me understand? What's happening? What's after you? And what is it you want out of all of this?
The shepherds have come to believe that the source of life in this galaxy came from beyond its borders. Any species that comes to use Lostra for itself, and certainly one with the ability to destroy it, is a threat to their journey. That is why they are coming here. As for why they are hunting us, that's because of the warning that we're trying to deliver, or did deliver.
So they are coming. There's not a doubt about that?
The anomaly you discovered on Satis is a more advanced form of travel, allowing the shepherds to cross distances between the rifts instantaneously. The presence of that rift means that the shepherds have already begun their preparations to arrive in your systems. It may be years, it may be months, or it may be weeks. But soon, very soon, they will be here. And I fear it is too late for you to do anything to prevent this.
How are you feeling?
Feeling good.
So my secret trick is to actually clap a little bit early. And then that way, when John lines up the claps, that means that anything I say, it'll sound like I talked first.
So you sound smarter.
Exactly.
Smart.
I've been doing this for weeks and you guys haven't
I've also
noticed,
been advancing so. Mine a little bit. And so it's kind of a cascading.
I've been slowing mine down.
Weirdly,
to
I've
seem
actually been advancing mine by slightly more than John and Haley.
I've noticed that. And then I've moved you back. This is kind of a classic prisoner's dilemma.
You caught me. I haven't been listening.
It is kind of a trolley problem situation.
What a Stanford prison experiment we have on our hands here. Comedy comes in threes, y'all.
All right. You know what? This is going to be a good one.
You got me.
All right.
You got me.
My juices are flowing.
Not too much now.
All right.
Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast.
Pidcoot.
Okay. Welcome to Worlds Away, an actual play storytelling podcast. I'm your game master, John Ossip, and here with me we have Haley Daria.
I took a late Adderall for this.
Lauren Woolbanks.
Booba Kiki.
Wise.
Michael Morales. I have no idea if that came through the microphone or not. But
I hope it did.
Did it sound good on your end?
Yeah, it did.
All right. Mike did pop a Pringles can. I'll just name that for anyone listening. And Mushtar.
Dry needling.
Wet needling.
Oh, gross, no.
We need a content warning on this episode already, and we're like 30 seconds in.
Yeah, this is rough.
I talked about a legitimate medical procedure.
That's right.
That doesn't mean it doesn't get a content warning.
So when we last left off, we were inside the landscape with Leela and Nasir, who were speaking with the child, which we also know to be the traveler or the monster that you found inside the ghost ship. And when we ended, the child had just explained that the shepherds are coming and that this was, at this point, inevitable. Before we get back to that discussion, I want to know what we see inside the landscape of Leela and Nasira's reactions to this information and how you've just been handling this conversation so far.
And can you remind us what is the setting of where we are? Like, where do we find ourselves?
Yeah, so I think I described this space as a kind of environment without end where it's kind of grayed out by the mist the further away from you you look. So there doesn't seem to be a hard edge, but there's a limit beyond which you can't see. And that the floor around you is this kind of mercury-like liquid metal, but it feels solid as you're stepping on it. And the child was sitting maybe 20 feet in front of you, just on the ground, cross-legged with their back toward you. So they're kind of facing away from you, and they were building the inverted cairn.
Mm-hmm.
I think that the look on my face is equal parts concern and wonder. It's like not lost on me that we're speaking with a sapient alien life. And that's, you know, it might be old hat for Leela, but that's very, very new for me.
Mm.
And also, it's not lost on me that what this creature is saying is horrifying. This person is saying is horrifying.
I think Leela has begun pacing in the mercury-like liquid / solid ground thing. And I think some of this is a rehash for her. Some of it is kind of new and different. But mostly I think she's just processing. And I think she just has a look of mostly blank, but you can just tell that she's in her head.
So I think if that's kind of the reaction, I think that you actually see maybe after a second or two, the child turns slightly. And maybe this is the first time they've kind of turned toward you. And it's only like a quarter of the way around, just so you can see the side of their face in profile. And I think they say, "We know this must be difficult. And we're sorry.
Can we ask you more questions?"
I think you see them nod, and then they turn back toward the inverted cairn, or their attempt to rebuild it from when it toppled.
Do they still look like the child?
Yeah, they do. It was only for a second that you saw the monster when you said that they didn't have to conceal themselves in this way.
The shepherds you mentioned, how many of them are there? And how many would come and fight?
There are fewer of the shepherds alive now than there are of your species, and only a small number of those will arrive in your systems. But almost any number would be enough to overwhelm you.
I think Leela looks up at this and says, so either we stay and get overwhelmed, or what? We leave?
Fleeing these systems from where you were using Lustra would have been your best chance at survival. Though now I fear even that option has been foreclosed. Despite that, it remains your best chance.
You mentioned that they used the wormhole, the anomaly that we found on... And I just sort of, like, think about Consus, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Satis. That on the planet we call Satis. Are there other technologies similarly advanced? And is there anything you can share?
The shepherds have had technology similar to what you found on Satis for tens of thousands of your years. Our own knowledge of their capabilities is limited by the passage of time, but even hundreds of years ago, they possessed the ability to create events comparable to your own past mass extinctions, akin to what you saw in Kairos.
I think Leela's pacing has started to slow down, and I think she stops and turns towards the child, even though the child isn't really facing us. And I think you can hear some frustration in her voice when she says, so staying here results in mass extinction of humanity and all of the species on these planets. But even if we flee, most of us would never make it. So you're saying that most of us, either way, are just going to have to stay here and wait to die.
As we said, we're sorry.
You didn't do this.
I think when you say that, you kind of see... Actually, hold on. Let me think if there was a move. I kind of wanted you to roll scope it out, Mo, because I wanted you to see what you pick up on from the conversation when you say that. But I'm wondering if you have a playbook move that might fit. And the idea is just being like, do you pick up on something from what you said? I'm wondering if it's like of the people, actually.
The problem is, John, of the people is my icon move.
Oh, it is. Fuck. I'm sorry. Damn, that's sad.
He's no longer the icon.
Oh, no. And I know that would be not in keeping with your hook if you used that move.
What about contact protocol? When you reach out to seek information or support from someone or something new.
Yeah. But the only consequence of that is just to give advantage.
That's true.
You know, I kind of like, here's the thing. I mean, I would have loved the other one. I feel like that's actually the perfect move. So it is. This is the only time I've been sad about the playbook change. But I do like, I think So Say We All is the closer fit. It's better than scope it out for this.
Yeah.
So go ahead and roll plus like, I might play it a little differently than the way the move normally plays. And I think if we want, as we do the whole, there might be like more to invoke the shared mission belief or dream, but I want to see how this works right now.
Does this roll with advantage or no?
I don't think so. I don't think contact protocol applies in this. It might in another setting, but I don't think for this it does.
That's an 8.
Okay.
Ooh, good roll.
So then a 7 sign, you hold one, and during the interaction, you can spend your hold one for one to ask the player, so that's me, one of the following questions. And that's, what's driving your character at this moment? What's your character most afraid of right now? Who does your character really answer to? What would make your character change their mind, or how could I get your character to trust me?
The thing is that I think I know the answer to almost all of these questions, except who does your character really answer to?
Oh, interesting. I'm going to give a little bit of a, I think I'm going to interpret this in a, it's going to be a slightly roundabout answer. The thing that you get from that, right? The thing that, I'll say that this gives you right now is the cairn doesn't topple again, right? But I think you see a grimace on the child's face. I don't think that you get the sense that, like, oh, they put this all into place. You know what I mean? That's not the sense that you get from that, but there's something more there. And I think, you know, what we do from that will come next. But I think they were in the middle of speaking, so I want to give the rest of their answer. You'd kind of interrupted with that statement. And I think they continue to say,
how many of your people could successfully flee is a question of the time before the shepherds arrive. And as we said before, that we don't know now. It seems likely, however, based on history, that your time is too short. We know this may only be of small comfort to you, but as we said, the damage will be akin to what you saw in Kairos. And so, well, the life that remains will be considerably different and will not include you. In all likelihood, new life will come to grow on these planets as well.
I think at that I smile. I appreciate the comfort. And then I pause for a second. I mentioned before that we shot you. That we hurt you. I've apologized, but I want to make it clear that's something I deeply regret occurred. But you came to warn us. So I thought it best to be honest with you. Even about the things that don't necessarily paint us in the best light. I don't know if you can see my thoughts as clearly as you can see Leela's. But if you can, you know I've had my fair share of regrets. I said something that bothered you. Could you tell us what it was? And then I think there's another pause, and I will look not quite at the child's face, but at the place where what I would approximate would be the monster's face was in that split second that I saw it. The shepherds. Were you once one of them?
I think there's a long pause. And I think during that moment, it's like they're unnaturally still. But I think then you see them rise and almost put their head up. It's not going to reach the height of where you're looking, right? Even the difference of, like, if you imagined the monster sitting, right, the head of the child wouldn't reach the height of where you're looking. Just that's how significant the height difference is. But I think they kind of rise as close as they can to meet that. And I think they say to you,
through their connection with each other and with their ships, the shepherds are joined in a gathering, a consciousness that binds them together. As segments of the species leave and return, their experiences, their perspectives are rejoined with the group. We were once a part of that gathering as well.
And you left.
We, ourself and another, dissented from their path. Though perhaps it took too long for us to do so. The consequence of this was exile, and we've tried to provide this warning ever since.
I think Leela takes that opportunity to turn the discussion back to what she arguably views as the more pressing issue. And I think she says, so, we're not the first ones who've received this warning. Has anyone successfully fled? Has anyone survived their visit? I'm just I'm frustrated because it doesn't feel like there's anything we can do.
And you're taking it out on the only thing that's tried to help us.
I'm not taking it out on anyone.
To answer your question, you are the third species that we have tried to warn. One, we failed to communicate with, and so the warning went unheeded. The other tried to flee their system, but was unable to do so in time. Before our exile, however, 10 other species were confronted by the shepherds, though most of those before our individual lifespan.
Given that you had not yet separated from the collective when the previous 10 species were eradicated, and I think my voice shakes as I say it, do you have knowledge on how those species attempted to resist, if at all?
Other than the one we were able to warn, none were aware of the threat before it arrived, though many, including with capabilities more advanced than your own, did attempt to fight.
Attempted to fight, but failed. Right? There's not been a single instance yet of a species surviving after shepherds have them in their sights.
I don't think they say anything. I think they just nod.
I think Leela just scoffs in frustration and turns away. And I just think that she had a lot of hopes pinned on connecting with the child and that they would give us more guidance. And mm-hmm. It doesn't feel like they're helping. So I think that's where her frustration's coming from.
I mean, at this point, this person is showing us their form, or a form, I guess, of them, right? Like, not the child, but the... Because when I said I looked at its face earlier, you used, like, its face appeared, like, higher.
Well, I think they, like, rose up to put the face, like, mm-hmm. of the child where you were looking, right? Because you were looking at where the monster would have been if they were sitting down.
Yeah. You have observed our species for some time now?
I think, again, they nod.
Do you think we can convince them all to leave?
I think when you ask that, the child just again turns back toward you. Like, and this is more of, again, like a half turn of their head, so you see it in profile. But I think at that point, I want to cut away. Where do we find Arno and Mara during this? I think you had said that you had had, I don't know if it was the wardroom or the laboratory, but somewhere it was kind of decked out with monitoring equipment.
I think Mara would insist it be the laboratory. It's also more closer, right?
Yeah, it is closer to the med bay.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's better or worse, but it is closer.
Yeah, I think Arno would oblige that.
What do we see? Or what does it look like?
I don't think before this, Arno would have put much thought into watching somebody willingly go into the landscape. I think that there's a discomfort that he feels knowing that it's happening, that he can't bring himself to watch on the monitor.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, he's fixated on his feed around the ship, monitoring for any other activity in the general vicinity of the Valiant, just making sure that, like, nothing's going on with the engines, that they're not on course to, like, hit something, or, you know, that they're not getting any incoming signals to, like, interfere in some way. I think that's what he's just, everything's fine. He knows everything's going to be fine. He knows it's a very low chance that anything could happen, but anything to not watch.
Can I ask another question on that? I mean, did you see ever from the outside Maybe you didn't, right? Did you see like, I mean, Ruby Watson or ever anybody be subject to indexing like you, Arno? I don't remember like which characters saw things from which perspective.
I believe there was the Ruby Watson attempt, but
yeah,
it's different. I think at the time he didn't fully understand what he was seeing, and now having gone through it and what he went through.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's even willing to admit to himself that he's just afraid to look up and see what's happening.
Yeah. And I would just say, I don't know if you catch a glance or if this is just like, if you ever accidentally like cross your eyes on the screen or if this is just what Mara sees. But I mean, what we see is the audience on the screen. This is the most peaceful that the two of them have ever looked.
And does the monster look peaceful?
I don't think you can tell, right? I don't think there's any movement at all because of the state that they're in.
What a great question.
And it's like, I don't know what that would look like, you know what I mean, right? How you would define peacefulness.
That's
but
such
it's
a reasonable answer. Let me ask a more Mara-inspired question. Are there any discernible differences in the readouts that we're getting of the monster from the autodoc is discernible in any way as a change? Oh.
You know, I normally would be like, oh, I want you to roll for it or something like that. And but I don't think this information is like useful in some sense. Right. I don't think there's something that you're going to like get from that. So I don't think that I want you to roll because I don't know what you would do with it one way or another. Right. So I guess I'm like wondering, what do you think the autodoc is like picking up on when it is encountering a totally foreign anatomy? Because, I mean, I think the thing is, like, is there a difference? Like, probably there is, right? Yeah. But I don't know if it's a difference that we'd be able to detect. I'm wondering, like, what you think its capabilities are at reading this. Because it's like, what's the baseline for something that doesn't even have a brain the way I described it, right?
Right. I think that's maybe what I was thinking about is it's whatever pulsations are coming from this brainstem region, I guess is the best thing that I could potentially assert that would have some sort of fluctuation, but it's super reasonable for you to be like, I don't know, you guys are lucky to even have saved this freaking thing.
Yeah. No, I just mean, I think that the thing I can say is not the case, right? Is it's not like, oh yeah, it looks like it's working, right? You're not getting that. But I just am kind of like wondering, like, what's Mara looking for? Maybe that's the better question. Yeah. Like, is it like, oh, you're kind of highlighting things? So I think maybe you don't have all the information yet, but maybe like, what do we see you picking up on or trying to analyze? Maybe that's the better question.
Sure. And so I think that all Mara has to fall back on is, again, human perceptions of this and human perceptions of interaction with this creature. And, you know, this thing that's most proximal to like our pulsations of our
like the EEG, like kind of like electrical signals or
like brain waves. What is that system called?
Synapses.
But it's not even the brain. It's like all of the reactions.
The nervous system.
Yeah. Thank you. Fucking thank you.
I was like, it couldn't possibly be that.
This is how I didn't become that kind of doctor.
Yeah. I think maybe the answer then is, in terms of helping paint the scene, is I think you are seeing differences, right? But I think the point is you're seeing, it's like, I think the sensors of the autodoc are reading the electromagnetic spectrum, right? Or maybe that's where it's, you know, it's like kind of picking up signals. And I think you're seeing things in wavelengths or parts of the spectra that are, you know, you would never expect to see for something produced by a human, right?
Sure.
Including, the ionization of the air to some degree.
Right, yeah. The crackling we felt before.
Yeah. And I think that what you are seeing is like intermittently there's spikes in the readings. Right. And I think you were not seeing that before. Okay. But I think it's something that the system is not like picking up on. Right. So essentially, I think what we see you doing maybe is it's kind of, I don't want to bring pseudoscience into this or what this is. But it's like, you know how in the movies there's like how polygraphs work, right? Where it's like the people are underlining I think like that's what Mara is doing essentially, right? Is like trying to manually identify where things look different and try to, it's like whatever the first possible step is in someone building a pattern.
Right, exactly.
And maybe that's what we see.
So I think, Mara is busy at trying to perceive what's going on in their quote-unquote nervous system. And I think she maybe glances over at Arno and she says, kind of a little distractedly, "So what do you think about our big bad?" The person, she has enough time to raise one hand and do air quotes, "that's been pulling the strings the whole time."
"I don't know yet. Until they," and Arno gestures with his hand without really looking up at the screen, "come back, I don't know what to make of this situation. They could be offering help. They could just be playing us. I don't know."
"Well, we do know that they are persona non grata with the Spectre, enemy of my enemy."
"Lions and tigers fight all the time, but they still eat sheep."
"Reasonable." And I think she takes a second to walk over to another kind of smaller screen that's in the background. And she wakes it up, and maybe it's one of those that kind of is mobile, right, in the wall. And she'll pull it out and extend it towards Arno. And she's like, "at least these sheep will have energy cannons." And so I think like what she's showing him is that before they like left the ghost ship, that she took some preliminary scans and readings on the cannon that we used to blow a landing spot in the side of the canyon.
"Yeah, I'm not so much worried about our intent to prepare. I hope." And then he takes a beat and says, "I know you can appreciate not knowing what you don't know and being thrust into a situation like this. It's not so different from going to a new world and figuring out how to make life. Except now we're trying to save it. Ours, that is."
I think she nods a few times deeply. And she says, "there may be some small utility for my expertise. However, it seems like your background will be the most in demand, former Lieutenant Hines." I think she actually doesn't like allow him to finish. She walks back to whatever her seat was before, and she says, "you could be on the ocean right now, a million miles away from all of this, retired, ignorant, living your last moments in perfect bliss."
"I still intend to go out that way, but not till this is done. I know that there's a lot that we can learn from this situation. And it's not that looking at that." I think for the first time, Arno will glance up at the screen. "Fills me with such dread that I spiral and can't process any of what's happening. It's that I need to understand when Leela and Nasir come back, if it intends to be deceitful, did it share anything that we can determine is true regardless, and can we prepare for that? Maybe it is a trap, maybe it's just playing with us, maybe it's not. But we have to prepare for all those situations. The easiest would obviously be that it's telling the truth. But if it's not, we need a plan."
Hey there, it's Lauren. Thank you so much for listening to the show. If you're enjoying Worlds Away so far and you know someone who has similar refined and sophisticated tastes,
please go ahead and recommend us. If you have no friends, you can also help the show by rating and reviewing us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other platform you use to listen to podcasts. Additionally, give us a shout out on whatever social media platform you swear you're going to quit this year. If you want to say hi, you can also find us on most platforms at Worlds Away Pod or online at worldsawaypod.com. Thanks again for listening, and now back to your episode.
Yes, but we're going to need proof.
And I think I'm kneeling near the alien, for lack of a better term, trying to explain that if we want to convince humanity to do anything, we are going to need proof. Even our testimony is going to be suspect because we interacted with you, and our species has limited understanding of this. Also, we need something to be able to verify any of your claims. I believe you, but we have to convince billions of people to come along.
I think before they answer that question, they say,
so you agree then that you intend to flee?
No. I haven't made up my mind yet. But I think we're going to have to flee or fight. And either way, we stand a better chance if humanity makes the same decision. Or at least tries to. We have limited resources. The more we can pool them towards one solution or another, the better either solution stands to succeed.
You said we were injured, that we had been shot. What do you know of that injury?
I know that he was shot with a device which created an entry wound through the external carapace of your person, but didn't exit in any way. You began leaking fluid of unknown origin to us, or purpose, rather quickly, and your psychic interference and communication ceased immediately upon being shot. We immediately applied pressure to the wounded area to prevent leakage of fluid. And then began sinking you to our medical systems. Other than that, you seemed to have no internal structure for holding you together that we could feel with our hands. And I sort of looked down at my hands, I guess expecting to see alien fluid on them.
Now, I think when you look, right, at least at first you don't see it, right? But I wonder if you thinking of it, I don't know, do you think that it causes you to see that for a moment, or what do you think happens?
I think the last time I was in the landscape, a little of me bled in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it happens here too.
Yeah. I think it's the same effect as when you saw the monster, though. Right, like superimposed. That's like what you get from that. I think they say,
we have had no outside perception since you arrived on our ship. Aside from conversations like that which we are having now, and the existence of that ship itself, I'm not sure what other evidence we could provide.
I think Leela speaks up and says, well, the other evidence we have is you and your testimony. We're currently holding you stable as best we can, but is there anything we can do to help heal your body?
I think when you ask that, they go to stack another of the stones on the cairn, and it topples again. And I think they say,
without any outside perspective, it's difficult for us to say. But from what you've described, at least without technology more advanced than what either of us now has, it seems likely that the damage you described is permanent.
I think Leela exhales deeply, and maybe there was some bit of hope or something that she was holding on to that is now gone.
I'll reach out my hand for the child's hand. I'm so sorry. Will you persist?
I think when you touch the child, Nasir, I think you experience getting shot.
Ooh.
But I think that unlike the wound that you saw, the wound that you experience is fatal. But I think you pull your hand away then, and it's as if nothing happened.
You said that two of you left the collective. Did you mean another sentience connected to yours in the body we shot? Or did you mean another body whose sentience is somehow linked to yours?
I think when you say that, they pick up the smallest stone from the cairn and are holding it in their hand and say,
"We first arrived in your sphere of influence 10 years ago after detecting the first of your anti-lustra devices. As we now know, however, this was also during the peak of the killings between your homeworld and your largest colony. When we first arrived, we, ourselves and another, tried to communicate with those of you who were using those devices on one of the moons of that colony, tried to explain the risk you were bringing. But on seeing us, your people reacted with violence. The other who were with us, the other exile, they did not survive."
There are tears streaming down my face.
I think Leela is crouched right beside Nasir and places a hand on his shoulder.
"Thank you for staying to warn us, even after what we did. You escaped, but your kin's body, you left it behind?"
"We took them with us, went to where you call Consus. We didn't know what else to do."
"Did I desecrate their grave?"
"And then you shot them."
Damn. I feel like in the future telling of like the history of Mara, it's like the two sides of Mara. It's like the giver of life and then Mara the destroyer. And I'm seeing it in stained glass windows over here.
A time to kill, a time to die. A time to reap and a time to sow.
Now, wait a second.
Wrong book, my bad.
This is from Ezekiel.
Ecclesiastes.
No, I was making a big head sack joke.
Jesus Christ.
Got him.
Sorry.
"I know we have no right to ask any more of you, but will you help us convince the rest of our species?"
I think they set down the stone and turn to face you fully. And I think they say,
"You said before you hadn't decided yet whether you thought your people should flee or whether you should remain and fight. It is interesting to see that a species which carries such fear can also carry such great hope that even, while beautiful, will almost certainly be your undoing. Whichever path you choose, it seems now that our fate is tied to yours. And so, yes, we will do whatever we can to help.
What does it look like when Leela and Nasir come out of the landscape?
Titties.
Sorry. I'm not leaving that one in. I normally do the work to put the soundboard in, but that's not.
That was just for us. That was just for us.
I can hear Mike laughing.
Now we might have made it funny enough for me to leave it in. That's unfortunate.
Sounds like
it's not.
You're right. I'm the one who's trying to get out of here sooner, and I'm distracting him.
All right. Ask a question.
Did you?
Yes.
Yes. Holy shit.
Here, okay, I'll redo it.
Titties.
What does it look like as Leela and Nasir come out of the landscape?
I think for Leela, she opens her eyes and blinks a few times to reorient herself in her reality. And then I think as she looks around the room in the med bay and kind of takes everything in, she looks down and sees one of her hands clasped in Nasir's and the other one touching the creature still.
I think as I come back, I look down at my hands and they are covered in the fluids of the creature. I try to sort of reconcile what I was experiencing in the landscape versus what I'm experiencing out here. And the only thing that is the same is that there are tears streaming down my face.
Let me ask this. When, in this process that we just described, does Mara or Arno notice that something's changed?
In what way? That they're like coming out of it, or that something else is...
That they're coming out of it.
Oh.
I think there has to be some sort of indication that there's like a shift in brainwave activity.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you know, after that alert, maybe Mara's eyes swivel from the like endless amount of readouts and charts and graphs to her friend in a room with an alien monster who just attempted to enter its mind space. I think that after she sees them start to move around, she mics into the room and says, "How is everyone feeling?"
I think Leela just looks to Nasir and the tears streaming down his face and then speaks out to the room and says, "It was a difficult session, but I think we're okay."
I hop onto the mic. "Nasir, I need proof that it's you coming back. I can't let you out of the room until you've assured us."
I take a second, and the first thing I say out loud, "Pawn to E4.
I can't not let you out after that.
Got him.
And I think the door's open.
Where do we find the four of you next?
The ward room, of course.
Classic us.
You don't want to change it up, coming to Mara's new command station here in the lab?
No.
Okay.
Too many people. Too many contaminants.
So I don't want to play out explaining everything that we just saw, right? We were all kind of witnesses to that as the players. I guess a question for Nasir and for Leela, I mean, do you just describe everything that you experienced, or is there anything that you hold back? I guess that's maybe the better question.
No.
I tell them everything.
I know it's a surprise, but Leela holds nothing back.
So I guess my question then is, when do we pick up into this conversation? What do we see, or what's the first line that we hear?
So what did it tell you? How are we convincing everyone else?
That's on us. The best we can provide is contact with it. We killed the other one.
Well, we have its body. We have its ship. We have images of it all over the Verge. There will always be individuals that won't believe. However, Iko will, of course, stand with us and assert our position. Earth as well, I'm hoping.
She wants to say, like, guessing or sure, but she just can't.
John, I have a question. Mm-hmm. We haven't found the Spectre, have we?
No.
We need to be able to track the Spectre ship. There is still an active threat in the galaxy. One with far superior technology.
If we wish to fight back, it would behoove us to learn as much information as we can about our adversary. We utilized Sapien alien technology once before.
If we wish to fight back, is something worth discussing. I'd like it if the four of us can go to Iko as a united front with a single recommendation. But I don't even know if it's possible for all four of us to be on the same side of this. I think we should fight, or at least try to stand our ground.
I think we should fight. We should figure out what we're capable of, and we should fight to survive.
I think we should fight because the longer that we can hold them off, if there is a contingent that chooses to leave, well, we might be able to give them more time to survive.
I feel like the three of us are all looking at Arno.
Yeah.
You take it at its word that everything it said was true, and it's warning us, and not that it's a last-ditch effort after catastrophic failure to mislead us. And we should make a set of preparations as if everything it were saying were true. But if we're going to have a chance, I'm in if we have a backup plan. I need a plan for if things don't go the way it says it will.
For what it's worth, I don't think any of us wanted to go the way they said it will. All right, then. We have to contact Iko and inform them that humanity has made contact with sapient life. And that we shot it. Twice.
Mara scratches her hand.
We also need to notify them that there is another rogue faction out there of the same species that wishes us harm. And we have to notify the galaxy without causing a mass panic. I shouldn't say the galaxy. We have to notify all of humanity.
I think Mara, what you see is, instead of the people slash monster, like corporeal schematics, you are seeing on the slate in front of her, like the analysis of the anomaly, the rift, mm-hmm. the wormhole.
Yeah.
And she's like, puts her hand on her chin and says,
well, somehow, unbelievably, my talents have proven very fruitful in our endeavors so far. But respectfully, we're going to need some more experts.
Cassandra.
Yes, Arno.
Before we go to Iko, we have a few friends to pick up along the way.